A film about his love life won 7 Oscars, including Best Picture. 2 of his plays are receiving modern movie makeovers. The Taming of the Shrew opens this week as 10 Things I Hate About You, and Othello becomes O, a high school basketball player. In addition, a new screen version of Hamlet with Ethan Hawke arrives later this spring. No doubt about it, at the end of the 20th century, Shakespeare is hot. But the Bard also generated quite a bit of heat in the mid-19th century. 150 years ago, 2 versions of Macbeth were produced in New York, and there was a riot. Curtis Fox has the story.
The trouble began on May 7, 1849. English actor William MacCready was playing Macbeth at the swanky new Astor Place Opera House in New York City. His arch rival, Edwin Forrest, was also playing Macbeth that night at the nearby Broadway Theater. Their acting styles were quite different. Forrest was a bit of a ham, a patriotic man of the people who knew how to please a crowd.
He posed a lot and received a lot of applause for the ways in which he could hold an attitude and transfix people.
Peter Buckley is an historian at Cooper Union in New York City. He says that, unlike Forrest, MacCready didn't appreciate the raucousness of American theater audiences, who expressed their approval or disapproval much as sports fans do today, that is, loudly.
MacCready appeared to represent at least a kind of aristocratic manner of performance and also a kind of anti-democratic impulse against the militant populism of Forrest.
The night of their rival performances, Forrest was a hit, but MacCready got hit by his audience with an avalanche of eggs, apples, and potatoes. MacCready left the stage in the second act. This kind of rowdy audience behavior was not uncommon in those days.
Shakespeare was popular culture in 19th century America.
Lawrence Levine, a cultural historian at the University of California at Berkeley, says that the feud between MacCready and Forrest was part of a culture war in 19th century America.
People who, by the 20th century, are not going to see Shakespeare, that was the result of this kind of cultural disruption, where Shakespeare becomes more and more the property of the upper classes. But in the 19th century, Shakespeare was the property of the entire population, and that's why the style in which Shakespeare is performed and who's performing him and the values that the performers have and read into Shakespeare are very important issues.
After being driven from the stage, says Peter Buckley, MacCready made plans to return to England.
That should have been the end of the event, but a group of 47 very respectable New Yorkers, including Herman Melville, of all people, and Washington Irving, sent a letter to the mayor asking for the use of the police to defend MacCready in the lawful exercise of his calling.
On May 10th, confident of police protection, MacCready again appeared at the Astor Place Opera House. Fans of Edwin Forrest had infiltrated the audience, but police quickly captured the hissers and brawlers and brought them down to a holding pen underneath the stage. Outside the theater, some 8,000 people had gathered.
Basically, these were working class people. Artisans and coopers and sailmakers and butchers and plumbers and the like.
When word spread that fans of Edwin Forrest had been arrested inside, the crowd outside began throwing paving stones and tried to batter down the theater doors.
At that point, you get actually a terrible situation where you get a panicked audience inside. Indeed, someone has tried to start a fire. And a very hostile crowd outside. And the situation went from bad to worse, as one can imagine.
There were people screaming about the aristocrats inside, and we're not allowed to go in. And finally, the troops surrounding the opera house opened fire, killing at least 22 people and wounding probably another 150.
MacCready went back to England and retired from the theater soon after. But MacCready's adherents in the U.S. eventually won the war. By the 20th century, Shakespeare was firmly installed on the throne of high culture. Things may be swinging back the other way, though. If Mel Gibson can play Hamlet, and if a film fantasy about Shakespeare's sex life can win an Academy Award for Best Picture, maybe the Bard is free once again to move among ordinary Americans.
It is a tale told by an idiot.
For NPR News,
full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
I'm Curtis Fox.